Thank you, Chair. I have one apology for sending apology from my mother's family, apology from the DM, myself, and the apology from the Minister of Justice. Thank you, Chair.
I think the apology can say the reason. And that's because it's happy.
Thank you, Sir. The portfolio committee places the cabinet committee. So, the minister has some responsibility to attend at the cabinet committee.
Thank you very much,
M.
Another
my apologies, Chair. I was number 18 on the queue machine, live machine in the kitchen, and I ended up forgetting about it. I'd have requested somebody to bring it to the meeting.
An apology. I think there will be circulation at the end of the meeting. Can I post it?
So maybe one thing to tell us why we can be the first time to tell us that we will be the
I've made some highlights when I was just remarking that we'll be dealing with the annual report. The first item of the R is the quarterly report of the CDAs. Then the second one, the presentation by the Commission on the implementation of the Concordat Agreement. And those are the two items that we'll be dealing with today. Members can know that the project is the agreement will be circulated by the project with our meeting. That was the time. Can you let me check the minutes of the 84th? We're circulated to ma'am, hoping that members will go through the minutes. Take one of the minutes. Page two of the minutes. Page 3 of the minutes. Another volunteer?
The chairperson under, I would assume it's under concerns, clarities, and questions, 4.3.2. We don't propose as a comment or as a possible way forward that the committee should assure that there's in future legislation to deal with this problem. That must ensure that there's clear time frames in place, that we must make sure that there's proper legal opinions between the various mandates of the ECOP and the National Assembly that we that should ensure. We also ask that particular attention is given in making sure that all stakeholders, all databases, invited, also solicited, and also make sure that there's a clear communication plan in place. Those are the suggestions we made in the last minute.
The issue that I raised with regards to the police participation. Because that is what we do in this case.
Chair, I'm really referring to what you suggested in the previous meeting, and I think it's the kind of thing that doesn't contradict any process. I think it adds value to it. So, that's good. That's just a minute.
Good
morning, Chair. The issue of public participation with the concurrence of my colleague who raised just on how we work it, but that there is an institutional participation model, so that as we have a commitment to make a but we're not really redrafting the participation model, or just so that we don't have public contradiction. But it is the issue. Thank you, my colleague, said, and we can say, make sure that there's full compliance with the institution's participation model.
The chair, we are busy debating at now. What I'm referring to is what was said in the previous meeting. That we can have a debate about the public participation, whether it's compliance or it's beyond compliance, but I'm purely referring to what was said in the previous meeting. We're raising it as an item of debate.
But when another
minute. For your ruling, the commission, and the conflict, I think we continue debating how to record it, because clearly not everything that is said that says was said one complaint. I have raised about 20 points I raised on that thing, which I know certain colleagues will give on. So it's good that we record that, which we agree with all of us. Clearly, Chair, we're not in agreement that we will write further edition to the institution's public participation model. That's why I was extending an olive branch to say if we can agree on that, which definitely we should have considered on the institution, the public participation model, where it's not the benefit for the relevant point. Otherwise, we definitely will not necessarily be all agreeing to be bound by positive, which we do not hold, which are not accept.
When reading the paragraph, we have indicated that we need to facilitate public hearings and that Parliament should exercise its constitutional obligations. I think it covers everything, because we can't just isolate the issues. Honourable Rogers,
Chair, again, and so I should be a big actor for the fact that I'm really referring to the comments that the GA made in the meeting. We'd like to have it limited and see if it is a factual revision of what we said. It was on Hansard, so it's not an issue of the other branch or not, it's an act of record. We can obviously debate public participation. I think one can find one for ourselves on it, but that's not the issue. The issue is not whether we're talking about compliance or should we be on compliance, we're talking about what we're saying in the meeting and what should be limited. But I suggest it's difficult to fulfill Member Bruni to accept that. You know, we want to manage it, then we simply vote to just the minutes. I think it's simple as that.
I suggest that as a standard procedure, we will not just have minutes. In the presence of the department. Let's have dinner at the end of the day, when we're done with what I hear. Because they can't find the town and they need to press place at a certain time. And quite frankly, a given entity may not have any direct interest in the minutes of the day. So we're to them, if I can talk about something in which they do not have direct interest. So I'm suggesting that the minutes of the meeting should be discussed in every form, in every issue, only at the end of the day. Unless we start before the end of the year. Thank you.
Thank you. Another one is happening with the last one, the minute.
Yeah, it doesn't have to do with, I agree with the other one. I think that metrics have been changed after the meeting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I will end up here to decide whether the honorable member wants to make minutes for the committee. Because they say way in the format of the operating minutes, but we'll present that to us after the meeting.
Another member, thank you very much. DM, let me take this opportunity and hand it over to you to pray the eyes of the report of the stage of conference. How many are functional, how many are dysfunctional, what are they trying to do, what are they doing? Over to you, the entrance.
Thank you, sir. Can I immediately give over to the division first to introduce the division and then kick in?
Bridges? Can you come on with your
family? Oh, okay. No, thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Honorable members, we have a report, CDA report for quarters 1, 2 and 3, and the committee had asked us some specific questions to respond to. In our report, we attempted to respond to each one of those questions. Without much further ado, I'm going to invite my colleague, Jeff Lennon, to lead the human presentation for the CDA report for quarters 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, and DGM, Honourable Members. Yeah, I'm going to present a report for the performance of quarter 1 to 3 in accordance to what the committee asked us to do. You also write here that the same annual report is coming. So the annual report will have more details on the CDA performance. I think there are lots covered in this report, but I'm covered in the annual report. We have covered the points 1 to 6 as requested. But point number 4 is what's in here. The reason is that after our last presentation here, we felt that there's no need to identify to say that are accessible CDA. Reason being that we talked to them, to the provost, and said we cannot just indicate unattainable CDA. Provost must go and do a thorough investigation. Go to the farms and check whether this is the legal process. Because when you see unattainable CDA, the current chain terminology is confusing to the community. There are some CDA presented unattainable. Now that we have agreed with the provost to go back into a thorough investigation, now they are coming back to the city, etc. So we don't have that one, but I think we'll cover it in the annual report. The table of contact is as according to what was requested. The background, the criminal strategy, city under administration, performance, quarter 1 to 3, for 2015-16, national compliance of the CDA, dividend of land, dividend of land, and reserve CDA. I won't go to the first paragraph because that is actually history now. Just to say that so far we have registered 1,483 CDA, and for the past financial year we have registered 48. Now, as you all know, the CPAs are appropriate. They are treated by a number of problems, and which we acknowledge as a department. And the department has not taken various steps to ensure resources of fiscal state to deal with the challenges faced by the CPAs. One of the interventions that the department did was to establish this program in all provinces. In quarter 4, district, and what we call CPA, district court. purpose of this forum is it not exist initially, but for the CPAs to be, I mean, share the experience to the approaches and lessons. Because we take them as peer group. They understand each other better now. We established this forum for them to, with the assistance of the Department of Commerce, to share experience, to be proactive. If there's a program on CPA, we get it from the forums. So they are proactive in identifying problems that we can intervene. A number of these people's intervention meetings have been done by the CPA forum. The benefit of this forum is to upgrade the research in close proximity to the CPA. We also, another intervention we have established a 10-year forum within the department. This forum is for officials who have been reassigned tasks and those have been appointed newly, for them to understand all tenure projects, including the CPAs. In other words, we go through them, we talk, we have this forum issues where all the departments, where all the problems are meeting, where we share ideas, we share experiences, and we resolve issues that are having this. Again, we have CPAs that are under administration. The department, through the DG, has expressed a concern that we have CPAs that are under administration, but we don't have the contract coming to end soon. It's like a loose operation. So we have established an advisory committee on judicial administration. This committee is to assist and to advise the DG. The committee, in other words, the committee screened each request for CPA to be put under administration and to see if there are no other alternative, you know, intervention for CPA can be given under administration. And then DG is advised as well. So the committee members are from CDI unit, the power unit, legal services, the research services, and the medical commission. In other words, when the CPA they are said to be given administration, you must come to the committee where it's going to be interrogated to see whether is there really a need for it, or are there an alternative solution to it. And the other intervention is saying, this is ongoing, of course, the same CPA every year. So for the past 3 quarters, we have trained 138 CPAs. And then also the still RMF, which I should say in advance that the disclosure report is going to come from the first provider who are responsible for the RMF. But the scope of the RMF has been extended to regularize the CPA and to give our policy and to regularize CPAs. Now, we'll go to CPA under administration. We have 3 years, we've got about Lubosic Sudo, which is in the Northwest. This CPA was this administration due to failure of the previous committee to exercise the fiduciary duties. Bank accounts have been frozen of the CPA. So, administration has been appointed and she's dealing with the CPA as a CPA. Commonly found, which I think most of us know, that the administrator whose contract for 3 years. The border got his functionality within the city. Administrator and the fund manager was appointed for the city. The administrator was the fund manager was appointed to a fee with the operation of the committee. There are many potential income generating.
What I like with the issue of the
report on administration. Yeah, like I'm saying, under commercial, there are a lot of enterprise potential that the group can benefit. Now, the family of the administrator has been tasked to look at the committee of the I don't think the administrator's contract is for 3 years. Next year. Then we have the farm. I don't think more details is going to come from under the board. But what is happening with Bamala recently, the bank has demanded for the producers to check the bank details of Conduct. Now, unfortunately, you know, people are people. People around the people, and people have got their own thing. So it's not like an iron where can bang an iron, it remains like that. Now, what they've done, they've opened up other bank accounts. They've shifted some money from the old bank of the city to another one. They have realized that. Now, the auditors are busy dealing with that one. Finally, what is happening? Because when they went to the bank said, no, this one is not even under the city name, under our name. So we can't give you access to that one. We can give you access to those that are under the Rama city name. So, but we are busy with that. Now, let's go to the comment of the first report. All and above the city event has been regularized. So two processes, the regularization and normal on the consent have done by the department for research and by CTA also. And the department also through its annual performance plan indicates that 200 CTAs will be supported towards compliance. Now you can't just wait, there's a lot of strategies that you're using that let's be proactive, assist those CTAs. If the CPA is not necessarily non-compliant, but there are issues that they are not being addressed, that's assisted towards them being compliant and remaining compliant. This doesn't entail training, doesn't entail helping them with governance issues, doesn't entail, you know, helping them go to all manners, coming to all meetings and provide manners, all of that deals with governance. Now, the department is indicated in its annual plan that we're going to assist 200 CPAs towards compliance. Now, meaning translating to 15 CPAs per quarter. Now, the first quarter, because it was starting, we just putting systems in place. Now, we find that we have started, but we have not done much. We have run something, problem us, you know, when it comes to, because there are issues that we need to prove that we have assisted CPAs. What you call the POEs. Now, some of the POEs from the provinces were not really good, so we had to tell them that nothing was done. So the second quarter, out of a total of 50 that we planned, 25 cities were supported towards compliance. And in the third quarter, we started to understand what is needed from there. We supported about 100 cities instead of 50. I didn't cover the fourth quarter because it was not in the instruction that you should cover the fourth quarter. Now, this is a picture of CPA compliance. You see that there's a lot of difference. But we should expect a lot of CPA to comply in the next 5 years year based on the 200 that the department is supporting was compliant. So find that in the coming year there will be much large number on the compliance base. So we find that there's 18, 12, according to the problems that they have. So only on 200. Now we have CPA that has lost prospects. Now some of the challenges that led to these CPAs losing land is district among CPA members. Some members who are said to be, when I use the word clever, they tend to take CPA other members and sell land without the community division, without members knowing that the land is being sold. Mind you, most of the people are not staying on the land, are not staying outside. Like when the land is being sold, and then those CPA normally come to us when you realize that the land has been sold. They come to the department and lodge a complaint. The department is investigating most of the CPAs. others are actually in court as you speak. But we're keeping it legally, so that we are sending the promises to other people to be based on the CP. Because the country of CP is better for them, they have learned by the country. The important part is, you know, it's difficult for the department to know which people are sending them. When send them, they have our text, we don't know. That's why with the new amendment, the provisions that make it impossible, or almost possible for CP to send them on their own, without the majority of the CP members agree to that. Yes, the process of legislation with CP is that have sold land legally underway in most of the provinces. Now, these are the CP that have lost land. We have Eastern Cape report about 10. This is the last one, in our family. Let me say the number 4 from the bottom. It was in court because the community approached the department of the province and said, look, how many of these souls are we don't know what happened? So the department has appointed a lawyer to listen to this. This one, the last one, I realized that the department of the process is one of the only department of the process of buying and negotiating land with the farm owners. In the process, you see, before you can find the land, the market city register. Now, find that when the last phase of the process of giving land to the community, then there was a problem with the land owners was there. And then there was issue of taxes, and then the community never got together. But this is also the community being assisted and skipped. And then we have the Free State one there. You see, for the one, the old land, they had some bad farmers, so the land was protected. So the others were just people who sold their land, others legally, others illegally. In the Northern Cape, we have about five of them that are sold land. Also, the same story. You know, people selling land there and people there. And the economy is looking to all the state right now. And Walker in the Northwest. That one is also in court, where the communication department, the police office, to register the concern that the land has been sold without their consent. We have about 18 provisional CPAs. We have, after the last other reports here, the road director to the provinces indicate that they have to convert all the provisional CPAs into permanent CPAs. So they are setting the process because in the same process that when you register a permanent CPA is more time. But the problem that has been given us, we don't want to see any provisional CPAs, even amendment them, they state provisions for that, they should not have provisional CPAs anymore. So the problem is actually dealing with it right now. So these are the 18, they are all over the country, you put it as the problem. So this is briefly the quarter 1, 2, and 3 report, like I said. The annual report will cover most of the details in the province of the city, because it will cover many other issues and it will cover the whole financial. So what we did here is put ourselves to work of Atuma to cover those details for you. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chair, for the presentation. I was just looking at your thoughts, looking at the finance part, because I think all the activities, there were some costs, all the activities, in some of the activities that we've done, there were some costs that were involved. But when looking at the report, it doesn't show any, you know, cost on the activities that you performed with regards to the CDA. Honorable members, can you talk to this? Honorable Sintana, Honorable Nishonga, Honorable Walters, Honorable Milandila, Honorable Sintana, Honorable Nishonga, Honorable Walters, Honorable Robertson, Honorable Makashi. And Honorable Magdela, Honorable Nguni, Honorable Chabin, Honorable Nguni, and Bigla.
Thank you. commend the report to serve people to make that say the performance elements, you know, in this project would have been better if we were looking at policy to have an overall picture. I've got a couple of questions on slide 4. Now, where do you think that the about the district 4 or something by the member? Now, in those forum meetings, do they have any people, personnel, who are subject specialists to advise and guide them? And for instance, people who are experts in conflict resolution, and do they themselves are part of the training that we give them, are they trained on their conflict resolution? Next question on slide 7. Where you say that the bank account, this is far wrong, where you say that the bank account has been frozen, what impact does that have on the operations of the city? I do take note of the fact that there is an administrator place there. And slide 8 on RAM. Is there any tension on the part of the department to go or department or the body can go back to court for a more expansive order to give the auditor access to any new account, since now they've opened another account and they turn around and they say, no, the court orders are not authorized you to access this account. The intention of getting around that, they're going back to court, you know, to get another one. And slide 12-15, sale of land. What sort of rights do they have to the PEs on the land? Like, do they own? Or is it feasible that they seem to be at liberty to sell it? Whether the sale is lawful or not, that would be process one to say there wasn't a wholesale agreement to sell it. That's something you have to talk about. It shouldn't be on the question of whether they own it or not. And lastly, just a comment on slide 12. I would suggest that you need to have a system of regularly checking the progress on the activities of the city. They will know soon once land is about to be sold or once land is not been sold. Otherwise, the question of keeping a finger on the pulse. You should get this type of system yet. And if you don't, indeed, a lot of activities can take place, and by the time you wake up to say in the following day, so much land is born. And this committee is born back on governance for our success. Once somebody has either corruptly or selfishly decided to dispose of the fundamental assets which is there to help them get rid of their poverty. So we need a government to have a very, very reliable system to make sure that we've got our finger, fund parts, whether it's a reporting system or regular visits, whatever. But we'd love for you to have a system to cross it. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. The report will be flashed. Questions on experts, the kind of the report. I thought after amendments we had better we help to deal with but it shows that we're going for an amendment. So next one, would you talk of the issue of human capital? It's actually the report that was one of the issues that we essentially took for the class. Maybe somebody asked what you make an evaluation of all those questionable because financially enough, this process or this CPA that is functional for time. And if you don't have to move, people have now 18 conditional CPA again in the next financial agency. But they're not functional. If you don't administer the CPA that's functioning, then come up with an alternative for another module. But if you always keep on knowing the challenge, for example, let me be specific. You are still unplaceable CPAs to train them to grow the business. There's no time frame. If I may ask, what is the time frame? for the provinces to come back to us. If the report is quiet. Even though they are stating that 1,000 parliament is there are registered, out of this number, how many CKMs are active? Because we don't know. This is what is quiet. And when I do my calculation, since 2019, there were 1,128 CKMs. Because the report is quiet, I want you to tell me. And when I do my calculation again, 365 CKMs, not sure where they are. Out of the 1,483, because no report is of 1,178 since 2019. So support them, but now, as I'm saying, especially the teaching, things are here for teaching. Let us meet that and situation. And then, because people still not do that. After I met in Swiss, when I interviewed the person, where I don't know my English. Now, I wanted to share for an example. Why only on the board, you only give us three examples of CTAs that are so-called reflex by you. I would call them reflex. Better way to use. Malamala, we have several CTAs that came in. You quiet. Malamala issues, you put, but then why only three examples of your CTAs that came in? Chair, I wanted to find out, that's why I started with human capital. How far are we with human capital development? Because I can tell you, it shows that you come to the programs, after programs, you came into us, was the program, the strategy, tell me about time, what was what I want to discuss with you. It's a program. After that, you come with? Yes. Even with words, I'm just saying with you, it shows that you will come back again. And to be honest enough, you are coming okay. This is what is bad compared to other people in the table in front. Thank you, Chair.
You have a question?
Thank you, Chair. Let me first start with, I think, what I'd like to see as positives in the report. I think there is, compared to the previous report, what we see, a effort being made by the department to deal with facilitation, with to deal with intervening in CTAs that are dysfunctional. That, I think, one should recognize. What does concern me is, and I mentioned in the previous meeting, that it does seem like this sustaining resources of the department that is not necessarily directly related to its core function. This is a department that must focus on rural development and land reform. And what I see here, I'll get to that just now, the land rights management unit, or fora that have been created, you see here systems within systems emerging to make a model that is possibly not the right model to make it work. And then I think to solve the issue of CTAs and CTA beneficiaries continuously benefiting and essentially using the asset to include more people in the economy, I do think a more thorough review of the system is needed, a thorough review of why it fails and how it can be turned into an asset to benefit on a permanent basis the beneficiaries. I think a more thorough analysis is required. And possibly a new model should be developed to ensure that the land gets utilized properly and hopefully turn all beneficiaries into businessmen and entrepreneurs. That's certainly what one would like to see. So, that's my first comment. I think a more thorough analysis is necessary rather than possibly, we haven't done that analysis, but possibly making something that is called work by throwing more resources, people, and time into it. That's one of the fundamental concerns. Then more specifically, if you look at the land rights management unit that has been given this task as well. Now, we previously had concerns with the land rights management unit and its capacity to do what it's originally there to do. This is an added burden, and my concern is, again, is are we seeing either strategic drift away from the core function of the land rights management unit? Is it something that is being capacitated properly? So I'm concerned that we've been pulling different directions. And then my last question is, we have lots of fora in land reform space. the land rights district, land rights permissions at district level that were created in the last year or two, how do they relate to these structures that are being created? Is something that is integrated? Is the communication taking place? I can imagine that if you're going to be driving land reform as envisioned in the National Development Plan, then surely these bodies and entities should also be part of that institution and sticking to that. So is that happening at the moment? Thanks.
Thank you, Chair. Welcome to the report, the Honourable Officers and Congress said. The Oscar process, there's a couple of things that I don't understand. If I can go back to areas that I've visited in general, CPAs that I've gone to that visit, there seems to be something that comes up all the time. It's their inability to be able to stick to the constitution, but that's CPA's constitution. There seems to be the same old problems over and over again with regards to its facility, where committees are chosen. And the people that are resident on the CPAs or resident on the farm are excluded out of the committees, that type of thing. There are decisions which could contribute to many of these CPAs not functioning properly. I am covered by my two colleagues, but I am, now that I'm from, I didn't mention about one issue. CPA constitutionality is rather worrying thing. When we look at the CPA for Marmara, for instance, and you look at the two groups of beneficiaries, and then you hear stories of one group of beneficiaries that haven't received a cent from a 900 million rand deal, they haven't received a cent yet. These are the type of questions that we should be looking at and asking ourselves. The government, the constitutionality of it all, there seems to be a problem. And then on the other side is that while many people are looking for recapitalization, CPAs are looking for recapitalization, or they're looking for assistance, as Honorable Locke says, with regards to resources, then you have CPAs that are benefiting last in 2 years. First of all, the Maramala deal, and then this latest Kruger National Park deal that went through for 84 million rand, where we've got some of the beneficiaries, if not the same beneficiaries, from two different clans. Bring this in now because all these are the functionality and governance of the CPAs and how we actually get there to any point. And then lastly, we speak about people that are selling land legally, for debts incurred due to mismanagement. At what point does government intervene and say, right, we're going to make a decision, we're either going to sell the land to cover the debts, or we're going to use more government resources to cover the debts and hope that the beneficiaries can make good of the next round. I think it is into honourable office the same, because you've got situations where land from different CDAs is supposed to have been sold to cover incurring debts for electricity, water, issues that they haven't paid, they're running a million. So the question I'm asking is how do we get to the point where the government actually says, right, we're going to have to sell this land to cover the incurring debt, or we're going to use more of our resources to cover that debt. Thank you.
This is so much from the members. Why is it like I can't understand that we have only two.
Thank you for the presentation of the city in this outlet. There are many cities that lost the land. Secondly, the Akarawa district is one of the capital cities, as far as I know. Maybe it has its own research, I don't know. What do you mean can you say it's traditional?
Thank you.
thank you for the agreement. And also to welcome the report, and especially the progress that has been made. But yeah, I just wish the department to confirm my understanding is that it's the one which is the issue of the regularization. Certainly out of the 400 that has been targeted for this, financially it appears that 125 has been reached, which is in the third and fourth quarter, 75 of the 500. I just want to be sure that indeed you will be able to make it in that 75. I also want to find out whether the training of the 138 CPAs, where those 138 forms part of the 400 that have been targeted for regularization, but or perhaps the training is perhaps something completely different to regularization service. But then just lastly, the trends outline the national trends, compliance trends, dating back from 2009, let's say a significant growth in provinces like the four point particular Mpumalanga, we should see to compare the 2009 and with it for the 2014 and 2016, we see there's a drop in the Western Cape, there's a drop in Free State, so one is a bit worried about it, when one would have hoped that things will be a positive one, but not become negative. There has to be reasons for the topic that thank you very much.
Another challenge?
The department was going to table the CPA amendment some days ago. I think it was in, during the pipeline to 2010. I think because that amendment would actually help us going forward in shaping and reshaping CPA. So I just want to know how far we and maybe we could get a list of CPAs that did not get that have no description of their land, let's say, when entities are concerned. What are those, their names, the area, and the reasons why the transparency in this long time. Thank you.
The first one is around the format. DG, GM, please help us to get these issues sorted. It's 2.5 years down the line now. I'm getting impatient to keep talking about format. First, I have regulations out there about the reported format. Everything of government that is reported must comply with that reporting format, simply easy. If I fail to pay it, constitutional court is going to pay it, and others will make the application. They will say the AFCB is so good, that they simply not come to pass the requirement, but so we compel to pay it, anyway we like to pay it as well. Please, format like chair says to the chair. There must be financial report. There's no financial report into this. It's not an achievement. There must be target. Whatever performance is reported. Now, I'm not qualified to talk of this, but at least there's an achievement, so you know. There must be target and performance against target, and then variance and reasons for variance. Simply. If you fail to colorful this and to make the graphical and tie chart and all that, we still condone, but at least do that. Please.
you then on the format issues and reported issues talk about annual cost to cover. It shouldn't be the main option. Please, good ladies and gentlemen, just come to party on this. Many municipal managers in Section 57 are doing so well with 5-year contracts or even less in those active environments. You high level, you national department at high level, at very, very senior level. You can do better on the reporting according to format. Teach us something. Let us see from your report that, hey, the society, Gombo is tangible. This is the cream of the crop. Please, on the reporting, I just never like to keep repeating this issue. It's making me a bit infamous and uncomfortable. I just want to make sure that we get reports from the DG that are in compliance with the format. DG, every try run, call your unit, ask them to report, send them away, maybe 2 weeks before, send them away, until they bring them something with a quality assurance, the term that you could know better about size on this side. With a quality assurance and everything. I left that point on the format. In other words, the report is no report instead. It's just an overview or a prelude to what could be a report. The issue has been raised, I think it's already talking about the CPA amendment Act. I also captured it, and it's good for since 2010. It's been coming, and the DM, shall I draw you to the mat instead of the respect? I know you like being accountable, and therefore we, when we assumed the term, there were 5 things that were going to come. Only one has come. And you can predict what's going to happen. Towards the end of the term, you'll then bring the 4. And then you will push up a situation where our cycle as the NA and the NCOP would then not be able to comply. And then again, we'll be hitting another contract judgment. Some of us, we have no names, but we want to protect our names. We don't want history to keep on saying, we stay there. So the CPA Amendment Act is the same point I'm raising there, Chair. The third one is RAMA. No. The legal team there in the unit or the lawyer, when they take up cases, they must close all possible holes. I'm in the middle of RAMA, I'll be facing them, Chair. At least I'm better, they don't have my number. I think the Chair is living a very miserable life. No. I'm just to say the thieves are running away with people's money because now they change their accounts. But we should have foreseen it. Our legal people must also be a cream of the crop. Who knows about the potential loopholes? So when they apply for interdiction and whatever, they know that we apply in a manner of closing, failing which you may answer me by saying no, in the amendment the deal, that loophole will be closed. It's needed a deal here. Yes. But even under regulations, under a court obligation, we could close these loopholes. Now, in the number of people, I wouldn't want your account that's like dormant, if you like. And then new investments and new water attached loans are going to the other account. They are off the hook again. Who must on behalf of the people that... The second last point is on the overall performance. There was a slight... Minaj just took a issue in the principle. I really appreciate some of our colleagues who adopt the empirical. I like the empirical approach. I think the language is not that bad for the doctor here in the street. I like the empirical. The broad issue is there's one page that sums it up. That page talks about performance and the decline. Actually, Honorable Walters, my beloved colleague, is very generous today. He said there's an improvement. I saw decline. If someone can help me with the age and that slide. I saw decline. There it is. Thank you. Thanks so much. You are honored to. You are very noble because you allow yourself to be scrutinized. If you like, you wouldn't have looked into that page. That's the age. I see decline there in that page. Look at the last two columns. There's a decline, clear decline in the performance. Look at the Western Cape. Oh, I'm sorry, your money. Only 5. There's an overall decline in South Africa. I don't know how all of the words are, and I'm not arguing it along the line at all. I think with the consensus of it. How he means it and comment it. There's a clear decline from this line. I'm not really in the political issue at all, I'm just talking in a linear fashion. So my last issue, which I think is profound and after, on which I would like to ask the committee and the department GM to think deeply. The notion of CPA as a conceptual tool contextualizes in the second more radical phase of economic transformation. That's what we stand for in the government party. When you go back to CPA units, what is radical economic transformation? How can it apply to the model of CPA? Honorable Walter correctly talked about systems, and someone else that is a mayor of Islanda, Nicola Palace, is quite a close friend of mine. He says that we talk about ramification of the superstructure. Systems, on the overall, are we advancing the second more radical phase of the national democratic transformation? Are these CPAs, I'll tell you about one thing. Greed in society and all the malice of capitalism. Now, encroaching, so the CPA, we win here the support, RADP and everything, and compensation, the 20 million, but the values of capitalism and so on. Keep us hard before two or three of us run away with money, begin to do things, kill others. So I'm just saying, at a conceptual level, there is a need for a mindset change, my dear BM. So that people who are getting this today are equally transformed in how they look and conceive of it. It's communal. That which is communal is equal amongst us. So you die where I die, my dear comrade. That's what it means. So the CPA is an opportunity to build cooperative attitude and mind. And I think that point is lost in my reading of the documentation, but I do not charge anyone for it. I think it's for us to keep reminding ourselves. That's a correct political conceptualization of the CPA. I thank you.
Can I hand over to the department to respond before we move to the second page? Other questions? Other issues raised by them?
Now, thank you, Teresa. Just on the one or two issues. The rest, the psychology will take care of them. There is one, let me start with the last one, the CPA, and well, I think that probably I should be the one to talk on that second phase of the National Democratic Revolution. You know, I think that, let me just submit that the issue of CPA, and combine what this one with what was raised by Mr. Ndong, I don't think that we should be embarrassed to say that the CPA are a serious challenge. Honorable Ndong has gone further to say they are not working, he calls them dysfunctional. Probably that would be too much of a generalization because there would not be 100% dysfunctional. But there are instances where CPAs really are dysfunctional. You know, we have a democracy, a young democracy. One of the problems that is fundamental in this young democracy is the immediate vanishing of activism amongst our people after the 1994 takeover, after the democratic revolution. I was in one meeting late last night and was speaking about the NGOs and their roles, because in another meeting, Now, immediately after the new dispensation, there might be areas where such activism as espoused by communities and the NGOs themselves, probably some of us, played some role unintentionally to demobilize such activism. But also generally, the young Democrats of South Africa, probably the particular expectations to what freedom is and what causes it. Because besides it being demobilized, there was a sense that the priests were well going and then we look at government, you know. And I'm sure colleagues sitting here would understand that a thriving democracy is not the one where people fold their arms and look at what government does. This notion of the CDA, in essence, they're supposed to be just bodies that administer on behalf of communities. Really, they are to administer what they have, whether you call it 80 billion or 10, but they are supposed to be administering on behalf of communities. The problem we have is that the Department of Government is not in every community to see. Honorable Sultan raises an important issue that I don't think is the only one that raised. The monitoring of the situation. We can put measures in place to effect that monitoring. But the best monitors of this democracy and those institutions could be the communities themselves, who will not be in every corner, everywhere, every time. We are called upon so often to stop the fires because people are allowing these cities to do things on their behalf without the monitoring them. And that's where it comes to the issue that I was raising about, you know, because the problems are disputes among community members. And I think it can't be the only problem. But that's a serious problem, you know. So we're sitting with a problem that's going to explode soon on the Ndabeni situation here in Cape Town, you know. Now, what I am saying is, if you look at the notion of the CPA, it would be a brilliant notion that needs loopholes to be closed there and there. I'm sure honorable members are aware that in some situations people would choose trust than the CPA. That's even a very difficult one. Because that one, it's more complex. So, as we proceed to this democratic dissertation, there are tools that we need to assess as we go along and see how we sharpen them so that we make them to work sharper. Now, because in these instances, people start standing up on the issues that their members are disappearing. Now, the issue of the amendments. The amendment has now gone through the Cabinet Committee, the CPA amendment, and it will be. I don't know that it would be being advertised or. It's gone through that particular process. And that is for the sole purpose of trying to make sure that it becomes the best tool to advance as we proceed forward. So, Chair, I'll come back to the point that I've made, that we really suffer from this lack of activism on the part of South African society, waiting for government to do anything and everything. The others are things really that I think the team that will respond to others, but the others are things that do not need any response either than us taking them away and making sure that we do the right thing. And most of those things were raised by the Honorable Nguni. Thank you very much.
Let me first of all just acknowledge the gaps that have been identified by the honorable members on the reports that in the future we need to include the financial performance information on the reports. The land that the department has bought, has acquired to date, nearly 5 million of the land of 5 million hectares acquired to date is controlled and administered by CTRs, that is 1,400 CTAs plus the trust. So the 3 million hectares or so that the commissioner bought is controlled by trusted CTAs. And we have government has spent billions of rand in that area, and therefore you've got to invest in making sure that that land is looked after, hence we expanded the scope of the regulation. The idea is that ultimately with these structures that have been given proper capacity, they can now begin to manage their own affairs. Obviously, under the circumstances is very, very difficult and there are challenges. Honourable Makata, we have started to look at the root causes. It is true. Conflict among CPA members or communities is not the only reason. Resources, of course, is one of the reasons. But we want to get to precise using the reports that were generated through the land rights movement facility through the regularization process. We should be able to say what is the problem, what are the key problems or the various problems that are affecting the managed PAs. We don't believe that there's going to be a thing of a project where there's going to be a one-size-fits-all to the challenges. But we are certainly looking at those various challenges. And he also mentioned that at the end of this month, we will be meeting with CTIs. The minister has asked us to convene a meeting of CTIs and the trust and the CTAs themselves to deliberate, among other things, on how best we tackle the challenges that are affecting CTIs. I think the other issue is around the sustainability. I think it's another challenge that if land was given to CTIs and they've got to pay rates and taxes to municipalities, it presupposes that there must be some income streams that flow. But CTIs were not meant to be running the farming businesses. And I think we've got to make that distinction very clear as a department. CTIs must do land administration to safeguard the asset of the people. Then the business operation must be formed differently to run the business so that we don't conflate the two. And that is why there is no control in the system, because the people who are administering the land are the ones who are running the business on the land and this system. So we are dealing with that. I'm going to ask my colleagues to also respond to the other specific questions. On whether the same number of CTAs that have been regularized with the same number of CTAs that have been supported. That is just like one of the questions that I have been asked. I have responded to.
Let me show you to deal with the other questions.
Current Honorable Chair and Honorable GM, and there was a question around the composition of the district funds. The question being whether there are any special districts that are part of the district funds, an example of them of complete research special districts. In terms of the type of reference that is developed for the formation of these district forums, you will have a vast array of people that are involved in the formation. We have CPA members themselves. We have departmental officials that are also part of that structure. We have the municipalities that are legislative and legislative. And prior to the formal establishment of the forum, there is a workshop on the operations of the forum that encompasses the provisions of the Act, where members are brought, are trained on the operations of on the operations of the earth, and also on their responsibilities in the mission to the mandate that they are supposed to carry through the farm. Then there was also a question around the Barolo CTA. The question was whether the freezing of the account does not impact negatively on the operations of the project. I need to point out that in terms of the operations on the land that is owned by Barolo, the CPA itself is not involved in the business operations. They have leased out portions of land to different people, including some members of the CPA. And one of the challenges was that the members in the CPA were leasing without formal agreement. So the chief was just allocating land, and there was no accountability to the members. That has since been addressed through the freezing of the account and the drafting of the formal lease agreement, where each and every person that has been assigned the portion of land has now signed the lease agreement, and the money is paid into a designated account that is managed by the administrator. So the operations themselves are not negatively affected because those are operations that are undertaken by individuals that are in the land. Then coming to the issue of the of Rana CPA, the question is whether we intend to obtain a court order, seeing that the executive committee has decided to open another account. From the investment held in the auditor, there are 300 accounts that are formally held by entities with the name at the asset. And those accounts, you have money coming into some of them, and then the money is transferred from the account to another account that is not held by that is not held in the name of them. Now, at this stage, what is designed is the auditors have lined up a schedule to interview the signatories to the account that are in the name of Rama, to determine the motivation or the justification for the transfer from this Rama account to the other accounts. And based on that, it will then be determined whether enough information has been collected to necessitate a further court order, or maybe to draw conclusions based on the interviews that have been held with regard to the flow of money from that with their accounts. Then we're also having a meeting with the legal representatives of Rama. We're also having a meeting with the legal representatives of Rama on this current study. That is to look at the current status and to make the way forward. The GGS responded on the ownership model, whether it's PTA or the right of use. Sorry, whether the right of use or full right of ownership. And coming to the issue of the monitoring of sales, I think the DG has responded. Maybe where managed has to add that in terms of the CGM bill that we still have in the pipeline, there is going to be a provision that will give the department the self-right of retrieval. In any instance where a CPA wants to sell land, it must first inform the department that we intend to sell land, and then the department will decide whether the proper process has been followed, number one. Number two, they will decide whether we want to hire the land ourselves, or we give them the green light to sell on that party. The question of human capital. In the issue of capacity and application of human resources cannot be overlooked. We have people that are working with China. that were sourced from other companies or were transferred from other companies within the department. And the establishment of the structure, the main structure that would be effective, is number one, we want to ensure that services that are needed by communities are provided at the level where communities are, in order to have costs for the communities to access the services. Number two, in relation to the China Forum, we have noticed that some of the people that have been re-advised or newly appointed to the company that they also in China and the physical cities do not have that much experience with regard to the operations of the various pieces of the community. And therefore, the purpose that is being served by that China Forum is to, on a regular basis, discuss any cases where lessons have been learned and advice is provided, if there is an official from a specific program that is experiencing a problem with the resolution of a particular matter, then that matter is discussed there and solutions can be proposed on how to deal with that matter. In that way, we will ensure that a good quality service will be provided and it's standard across the country. Then on the issue of the conversion of the provisional CPAs to permanent CPAs, I need to point out that the process of conversion will be similar to the registration of the CPA. And the whole process of registration has to be followed in that conversion process. That is, there must be proper notices given of the meeting to come and decide the constituency. And then there must be that meeting where the constitution is discussed and adopted, and all the other processes that unfold in relation to the legislation. It was pointed out that most of the CPAs do not comply with their constitutions. I think it's most of the conflicts that arise is as a result of CPA identity committees not complying with their constitutions. And the challenge there is that when you look at what the motivation sets up are behind the non-compliance with the constitution, it's more similar to the question of greed, where a few individuals want to enrich themselves at the expense of the community. And if you look at it from an outside perspective, CPAs are really a reflection of the community making. In any community, you will have good people, you will have bad people. So there will always be a mirror. The CPAs will always mirror what is going on in society. There was a question from Honorable Maganda regarding the Atalawa. It's a provisional EPA, and as far as you know, it is successful. Yeah, operationally it is successful. It is a provisional EPA, and the Honorable Member wanted to know what is the provisional EPA. When we talk about the provisional CPA, we talk about the institution that is established pending the formal process of registering a fully fledged CPA. So at the time that land was transferred, you'll find that there were certain issues that were still being finalized, and therefore a permanent CPA could not be registered. So what needs to happen is that this CPA must also undergo that process of converting it to a permanent CPA, but that will not affect the assets and the operations that you currently hold.
Thank you, sir. Just one comment. There was a question on succession. I think if you, we should also take the blame in the documents the way you write our report. Because if you read the report, it's almost just negative. There's no setting that deals with successful story. Now, the perception is called that everything is just doom and gloom, and which is not the case. The last, even last, I know it's for the DJ stage, and the most of our CPAs are not necessarily problematic. I can say maybe 10 or 15% of the CPAs are the ones that are problematic. And these are the CPAs that we report on and concentrate on. Instead of saying, there are successful stories here and there, that's putting also on the report. We don't do that. Now, when you read the report, it says it's just like a negative report. But the thing is, we concentrate on the challenges and what's rectified. Now, it looks like there's nothing happening, but there are successful stories in our CPAs. Thanks.
There was a question that has been raised by outstanding question about the unchosen CPA programs that have been given to COVID distribution CPA. I think it must be responded. Then the other one was the the CPA has not yet received the and I know that it's true. I'll take any questions for everybody. Honorable Robertson raised the issue of the CPA benefiting part, the issue of Malamal and the Cook, the National Cook and National Park. The intervention that is made by the department when the beneficiaries are selling land due to CPA beneficiaries due to them. Is there any intervention that you are going to secure them?
Yeah, with regard to the CPAs that do not hold land, we will compile the report and we will provide the report to the circumstances of this.
And the other
one? Yes. Refer number one to the issue of CPAs where the land has not been registered. It happens in certain instances that either because of conflicts or because of processes, the land is not registered immediately into the name of the CPA. In certain instances, the commission then transfers the land to the date and refers to that creative state land where we are waiting for the CPA to resolve these issues because we don't want to transfer or we are interdicted from transferring the land into the CPA and into the resolution of that matter. And in that instance, then we will hold on to the guidance until the resolution has been ascertained. In those instances, then we will have those CPAs. But we are, as a commission from outside, looking at all of those lists of CPAs that have land that have not been transferred and then identifying exactly what the issues are and how quickly we can try and transfer. But sometimes the issues are important, so we can't transfer send the transition of the issues. On the issue of whether communities can benefit twice in instance of restitution, Chair, I would like to communicate that in terms of the restitution, any individual community or family can claim, and in certain instances also are evicted more or affected more than once in any situation of land possession. And so what we focus on really is whether the facts of the case in the context of the dispossession are correct and are historic, and we then implement that. We rely on verification which is done through the community itself and the elders for them to verify who the beneficiaries of that land is. And so you will find very often in instances in the Eastern Cape where communities were moved more than once and might benefit more than once, not necessarily on the same land but in different portions or depending on their own history of possession. So it does happen.
Commencer.
The process of collecting that information is still underway. There are a few that have been found, and the information has been included on the spreadsheet of your normal computing. But we did not leave them separately because that process was still ongoing. But I think at the time of presenting the annual report, there will be more information that is provided about that.
Yeah. We don't have dictionaries. Point of order, point of efficiency, point of default.
Chair, I'm stopping. One of the things that we see in the court is we love this community. We love that our people must take it, especially women. And above all, what if we were speaking, we're talking about today, which is not. For example, Chair, I think the president are not going to take the court. Now we get a much more deficit first. I'm not convinced. I'm checking the earlier report. I'm not convinced. Tell me to that. The committee doesn't care to that. So you see what is happening at the ground. And you're supposed to implement. And when I judge you, the earlier report, you know what I think I'm clear about is your presentation. You said it with your mouth. I don't know how many are there in your time today. You question this. That's the media teacher. The question is, you come here and tell us who they are available. But we know it. If I don't have a number, but you gave them to go there, there's not anything. Oh, come on.
Madam Robertson, Honorable Susan, is there a follow-up question or a new question?
No, follow-up.
Okay. Honorable Madam, is there a follow-up?
Yes.
Okay, let me start with Honorable. Honorable Robertson, is there a follow-up on
yes?
Okay. Honorable Susan, first, then you follow. That is a change in the question. Honorable Matthias, are you with us here today?
Thank you for the opportunity, Chair. On the ownership map and saying well, if there are four rights, talking about those that have four ownership rights, with their now endorsement at this point in time to their level being, what makes it then illegal for them to sell it? Is it a process that they follow or they don't follow? Then, I'm not wrong. What happened then to the list? My question there, my little question was, what is the index of having accounts that are closed? And then your response was that they have list out the men, and therefore they are not involved in the day-to-day operations. Now, my assumption is that when you list out men, there's revenue that comes in the form of render. Now, is that the account that has been frozen? Or has that account also been frozen? And then, if so, how do the intended beneficiaries out of the index on the intended beneficiaries? What we're trying to guarantee is the situation where a government starts a process which is intended to benefit the communities at large, and the CPA members, you know, in particular. Mm-hmm. And then because of some illegal or improper actions, the community gets, you know, just negative impact because operations are not being done in a procedural manner. And that's where my concern is, because there are so many forms of disruption that we see. You'll be aware of what has happened in the Cape and university and what have you. And then that's not a nice picture. So we're always concerned when people react to certain actions or reactions and the government there, you know, is unable to step in time, you know, to see how we can obviate that. That's where I'm coming from. And then lastly, the composition of the fora. From what you have explained to me, the composition thereof, it looks like you are unable to confirm if the kind of skill I was looking for is there or not. You can get any type of a government official, be it a local government, provincial, national. And so many of them may not be having kind of skill that is needed, you know, for people present in a particular environment. I was asking whether there are any people with conflict resolution skills. And I promise you, there are many government officials who have never opened doors to a, you know, to that kind of skill. They could be the ones that are switching the room for it. Now, how do you intend getting around that? Because we should have it both within, as part of the training, you know, of the CPAs, as well as a report by a government official that you place there, you know, in the forum. What helps, you know, to have people with that kind of skill? How do you intend closing it? By when could you have that? That's it. What about? Thank you.
Thank you. The report indicates an aspect of constitutionality of CPA. This gentleman, of course, indicated that a lot of the failure comes, CPA failures, is due to lack of constitutionality and also active greed, and indicates that the CPA is a mirror society. The first thing I want to ask is, if something like this happens in society, there is an intervention strategy. So what I want to know is, what is the intervention strategy? What is our or your intervention strategy when it comes to these topics? And has the strategy been included in the draft amendments to the CPA Bill? Because it should be. And then secondly, if you make, if you say that it's generally green, I look at the Mara plan, for instance, where Mara are paying 700,000 rand a month to rent back, or the people are paying 700,000 rand rent back to the beneficiaries per month, and 1/5 of the beneficiaries doesn't receive the ticket, leads me to question the replication process. It also leads me to question and say, does that also reflect outside society? And what intervention strategies are going to be put in place to ensure that that doesn't happen? Because people have put their names down to pay. And they've been verified by the elders, and they've been verified by the constitutional court, etc., etc. What intervention strategies are there to stop this happening?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Just on the last one, we'll try to list the different interventions that we are putting in place to help strengthen the capacity of the members of the CPA. First of all, awareness on their own fiduciary duties is very, very important. Because when they are aware, then they approach the department and are able to, when necessary, to intervene, whether informal, appointing forensic investigators for forensic investigation, like what we've done, appointing attorneys to interview, whether it's sale, whether it's the looting of accounts or illegal, any form of things like that. So awareness primarily becomes very important on the part of the members of the CPA. When they are aware, they intervene, they escalate the message, they bring the good instruction so that you are able to act. Honorable Sukarna, the skills issue. I think one of the things that my colleague tried to say was, okay, we have got in this branch about 300 officials across the country. We also have the panelists on the land rights management facility, some of whom are mediators by their profession. Now, we are saying, we acknowledge that not all of our officials have got all the requisites here. The forum, the tenure forum, is meant to build up the skills base in general so that we are effective, they are effective in the execution of the plan.
Okay. And also, what makes it illegal for the CPA to sell land?
So,
On the issue of the sale of land, land becomes an illegal sale if it was, the sale becomes illegal if it was executed contrary to the provisions of the Constitution, and there are certain provisions in the Constitution that will deal with the necessary quarrels that are required for such a transaction. So, any transaction that is conducted contrary to the provisions that require the CBA to have a certain amount will be used to be an illegal sale of it because it's contrary to the Constitution. Coming to the issue of the frozen account, the administrator is a particular case, and she has opened a trust account on behalf of that CPA. So the rental money goes into the trust account.
Honorable member, any new questions? The last one. Honorable Matela.
Thank you very much. Chair, I wish to raise the question. I think maybe sometimes indicated the social economic assessment, the court of CPAs will be the course of being concluded. I would want to assume that it's done now, it's on the shelves. When can we access to that report? Second question, last year we also raised, and Victor and myself raised the issue with regard to open masculine in communication due subsequently, and I think the DGC also with regard to open masculine. There's no feedback, I'm not quite sure what the situation is. I must confess that I received a call. It was with rather strange from the Department of Social Development, the chief director, who indicated to me that she also been assigned to deal with community issues relating to the conflict in Upper Manzana. I know this person because of former professor at UWC. And I find it a bit strange, but I'm not quite aware that there's a collaboration between the DSD and the departments around community intervention. So if this is good, but if it's not, then the department must take note of another one in coaching and therapy. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chair. My understanding is that the first one matter is in court. We tried negotiation. We got an intended facilitator through the Land Bank Center, which is a finalization, which did not work. And so the matter is still in court. The likelihood is that some issues there were additional clarity around research might be the cause of the infection. So that might be why we've got other roads there as well. But it is the method at hand.
Check on the issue of the social economic assessment. It is on its way to cabinet together with the amendment. And we hope the cabinet will consider it next week. And we'll be considering the bill, and then immediately thereafter make the social economic assessment amendment. Because it was done in support of the amendment.
Is the in the report some, we're talking about this provision of CPA. For how long has this CPA been provisional? Because there's time frame. And you must make sure that you stick to that time frame. They must not be provisional forever. And the other one is the issue of, you know, this land that is being sold. We're trying, I think through the land reform, we're trying to revive the leaders. you know, the 1915 Nature Plan Act, and also to make sure that we balance the issue of the land ownership in South Africa. So if we give people land and we sell it at the land, are we not progressing our game?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why we need to discuss it further, because you can't say you're addressing this at the same time people sell, you know, the land back. So I think that is one matter that we also need to discuss that. Then, yes. Then the other one is the issue of in the picture they said some things are actually been concluded without proof of consultation as well in the future. And in some instances without the knowledge of some community members, then what do you do? Because that is the illegal transaction. Then the other one is on the it's also on the third quarter that you have exceeded the target of 50 and you've been able to support 158. Are there any financial implications? If yes, where did you take the other from which people? Was the other money shifted to this program where you exceeded your target? And also, I think we need to guard against this issue city of one member raised the issue of the body of the land rights management facility. I think I agree with the member. Because now we've got a lot of workers' cases, you know, people who need to legal assistance. Those people, the land rights management facility, we think to deal with these challenges in the farm. Now we are adding another responsibility for them to be, you know, but with the in the CPA. I'm not sure how are you going to balance the two. CPA is about their own problems and their major problems in the past, whereby people need legal services within the department to assist them if there are illegal issues and other cases. And the other one, I think, is the issue of this establishment of forums on top of the other. And at the end of the day, population is not a problem for us. Because the S is talking about the land rights management committees, we've got the district land rights committees, we've got, you know, all this. At the end of the day, they duplicate. I think we need to just ensure that if we establish each and every forum, we'll show what is it that forum is going to do to avoid the duplication. Over to you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We've taken notes of the issues the Chair is raising. We will certainly provide a quick analysis of the CPA that has been under administration. We do know that government has been under administration for a very long period of time, but we'll provide the reasons for that. The funding for the package that we've seen would have come from the same program, especially it was in the first and second quarter. The targets were not met. So the funding would have come from the same program. The issue the Chair is raising on the sale of land and its impact, I think it is a policy issue that Chair correctly must be dealt with. Should it be allowed? If it is allowed, is it under what conditions is it allowed? Those are the questions the policy should answer. Also, the state on the title. Should the state on the title and give the consumers rights to use of the land? Those are the various options that need to be explored so that the policy can provide the clarity and certainty. Secondly, we will have to streamline the various structures, because they have come up very thick and fast in the last 9 months with the discipline reform commission having been established around the year, and the district at the past management council, the GPA, district quora, and then in the EFTA amendment, which is the land rights management committee. So they are all going to be operating in the same space. And they will require administrative and technical support from the department to become more effective. And I think this will have to be better. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, can we move to the next item? Over to you, GM. The implications of the judgment and the operation of the commission.
Oh, okay.
Are you asking for admission break? Okay.
I have not yet given you the commission break. Can we have just 5 minutes break?
Thank you.
because then you are not the manager of the higher office between, but it's not the way you approach on it, inside or outside.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, Honorable Member. The Honorable Deputy CLCC Bowen Dodds is going to be leading us on the implications of the Constitutional Court judgment of July the 28th implications. And I therefore want to hand over, I don't know whether you want to. To the Honorable
Surya. I think we'll start with the invitations, because last week the police talked about the breakdown and also the
Thank you. The portfolio committee was briefed on the 31st of July by Parliamentary Legal Services on the court judgment on the Amendment Act. Today we are going to be focusing on the implications of the judgment of the Commission of the Commission. platform for dealing with the background and issues that are before the court. Slides 2 and 3 of the presentation are a repeat of the order that was granted by the Constitutional Court, and we included that for ease of reference of honorable members. In slide 4, then, we start unpacking what the judgment means for the operation of the commission. The immediate effect is that from the 28th of July 2016, for the date the judgment was handed down, the restitution of the Land Rights Act of 1994 must be read as though the Amendment Act was never enacted. There are some limitations to this, qualifications rather, which relates to the things that were lost between the 1st of July 2014 and the 27th of July 2015. The invalidation of the Amendment Act in terms of the Constitutional Court order takes effect on the date of the judgment. So from the last day which the Commission was allowed to receive claims was then the 27th of July 2016. Potential claimants who were not allowed to claim by the 27th of July are no longer allowed to do so, because from the 28th of July, for them, the cut-off date for lodgement of claims is again the 31st of 1998. The qualification that we referred to earlier when we said that the Act must be read as if it were not amended relates to the claims that were lodged between the 1st of July 2014 and the 27th of July 2015. Those claims which are already pending are protected by the order, and they remain claims for the purposes of the restitution. The Commission has been interdicted from processing claims that were lodged between the 1st of July 2017 and the 27th of July 2016. In any manner whatsoever. The Commission will only be able to process those claims if Parliament enacts a new piece of legislation to reopen the government of claims and then provide for prioritization. How does the Commission deal with the claims that were lodged in 1998 and with the new one? The other instance in which the Commission will be able to deal with if it has completed the settlement or referral to court of all of the claims that were before December of 1998. The court then said that the interdict against processing does not prevent the Commission from receiving and acknowledging receipt of claims that were lodged by the 27th of July of 2016. Now, the effect of the interdict is that even if the Commission continues and finishes claims in a particular province, we won't be able to start processing the new claims in that province until such time that it has finished the processing of claims all of the province. That is true because the Commission is one institution. That is one of the issues that may arise or may need to be taken re-look at in the future, because as honorable members will see later on, there are some provinces where we are about to finish the processing of the claims that were lost before the 1998 cut-off date. The court order states that if Parliament does not enact reopening the lodgement of claims by the 27th of July 2018, which is performed, the Citizen Claims Commissioner, then we are offered for it. If Parliament does not enact a legislation by the 27th of July 2018 that reopens the lodgement of claims, then the Chief Legislative Commission is required within 2 months of the date to approach the Constitutional Court and to ask that court to give further clarity about how to proceed going forward. This order of the Constitutional Court does not expressly deal with the powers of the Land Claims Court, so far as they relate to these claims, the new claims that are protected, those being the ones that were lost from the 2014 until the 15th of the 27th July of 2016. So in that regard, the Land Claims Court has called upon all interested parties in the matter of Amakam community, Amakasami community, to make representations to it, and the hearing will be held on the 19th to the 23rd of September. And in that case, then the courts will determine the status of a new or a claim if you claim the rest of not in light of the judgment and the effect of the judgment on the application of pending lending that were lost by 31 December 1998 in cases where there is competition. They are competing, the old claims are competing with the new claims. So far as the commission is concerned, the order is very clear. You are not allowed, you are interdicted from prosecuting the claims in any manner whatsoever. The only thing that you can do is to receive an acknowledged receipt of those claims that were lodged until the 27th of July 2016. But insofar as that is court is concerned, that interdict does not apply. And to then provide clarity, then it is important to identify two cases where this matter arises and the call upon our interested parties to make a presentation so that it can arrive at a more informed decision. We then turn to look at logistical and other administrative implications of this judgment of the Commission. The first point that we make is that because now we are no longer receiving the net claims, we are going to shift the resources that were meant for the development of claims to research and the settlement of claims. And in this regard, we are amending our targets for research, and we are now intend to finalize the research of claims brought by 31 December 1998. By the end of the present financial year, which ends on the 31st of March 2017. We are also, in the next 2 years, going to be preparing for settlement all of the claims that were lodged before the 31st of December 1998. Now, we must clarify what that means. The preparing the claim for settlement means that we must do everything that is required before we get to the point where resources must be spent. So the claims are going to be collected, negotiations are going to be held, options with the communities where we have to establish legal entities, we will go ahead and establish that, and then as and when the resources are made available, we are then going to set in all of those claims. And at the end of the last financial year, 31st of March 2016, we had 7,419 outstanding land claims. Now, the breakdown of those claims is such that we've got 4,376 that are in negotiation stage. Now, the bulk of those claims, all of them have been researched. The bulk of them have not been addressed. And the reason they have not been addressed is a position that the Commission has taken to say that there are unintended consequences that follow the conversion of the claim. And then the rights of the landowner are limited in terms of what they can do with the land. There are certain activities that the landowner can only do if they give notice to the Commission. And the financial institutions, the fact that there is a conversion on the land has negative implications for the owners when they want to use the land as security for a loan. And therefore, the decision that was taken was that we are going to collect those claims. We are going to collect those claims that we know we have resources over the MP at the time. We are now starting consultations with farmer associations. We are halfway engaging the financial institutions, the before bank, to say that the fact that there is a collect notice does not mean that it's the end of the world. The Constitution guarantees, protects the owner against artificial deprivation of property, and even if that property is required for the purposes of land reform, then owner is entitled to that necessary compensation. Can they review the position that they have taken against the diversion of those claims? We've been interacted with the Banking Association of South Africa, we've been interacted with Absa Bank, and tomorrow we are interacting with we have 280 claims where that have been finalized in terms of the determination of qualification, which is part of the research. 2003, and then we had 2,753 claims that still require research, and those are the claims that we are saying we are going to research by the end of the current financial year. We have employed staff to come for the to receive the government of new claims. We had 99 in total. Now, with us not receiving new claims, we are going to redeploy the staff where necessary. We are going to reskill so that they can assist in the core functions of research and the settlement of claims. That process requires consultation with the workforce and with the union, so that consultation is pending. Initially, what GitHub is currently doing is that they are capturing and uploading supporting documents into the document system. At the when claims are lodged, they were lodged electronically, and when documents were submitted together with the claim, those documents will be uploaded into the system. In some instances, the system will be too slow and the documents will be copied and placed on file. So now that task is just to ensure that what we have on the file and what we have on the system is a similar document. And that is what the staff is going to do. They are also in the interim going to be finalizing capturing manually lodged claims. Claims were lodged electronically, but if there were issues with the system or if there was no electricity connection, then we must send away the payment, but we would assist them to lodge their claims manually by completing manual forms that we made available for them. Because the government just hit, we then had manually lodged claims that have not been uploaded. Any claimant could lodge a claim in any province. So if you happen to be in a town and the mobile document bus was there, you could go and lodge a claim regardless of the location of the land that you are claiming. So part of the work that we are also doing is to then ensure that we transfer all the different files and all the different claims to the relevant provinces, the relevant districts, to the relevant local municipalities, and that is part of the work that they are going to be doing in the interim. In this slide 13, then set out the breakdown of the 99 lodgement staff. Northwest has the highest. We have two lodgement offices in the Northwest, which is why so much number, and at the national office, no lodgement was taking place, and there is then no staff at that level. We're putting lodgement offices throughout the country. 10 of those were existing offices of the Commission. 4 were opened specifically for the reopening. And in all 4 instances, those offices were opened from the existing offices of the department. So for an example, in private and in private, we converted what used to be the bottom of the department into an ultimate office of the commission. We are looking at how that space is going to be used and then ensuring that it's not in care to get them with full expense. The offices remain open so that as and when people come and want to lodge claims, we are able to then communicate to them the documents and the limitations and the fact that we are unable to accept lodgements of new claims. We have six mobile lodgement units, the buses and the trucks. They have been grounded. We are having discussions with various government departments and entities to try and see whether we cannot sublet the buses to them. If those discussions are not fruitful, then we are then going to try and see what the options are. At the level of communication, in the cabinet meeting at the 31st of August, the cabinet noted the judgment, and it reassured for our pretend that it was government would comply. And it then also requested of the Commission to engage the media in so far.
whatever is what the future is going to be, and having them brief the portfolio committees we are doing now. Later today, we are then going to engage in the media on what the implications for the commission are and the way forward. That is going to be kickstart the communication campaign where we are going to be communicating the implications of the judgment, where we are going to be informing those people that lodged claims since the 1st of July and the 27th of July that they are still about to be lodged, but we are literally kept on dealing with them, and those that have already been referred to court, there is a process that is going to provide clarity about what the future is going to be, how those claims are going to be dealt with. As part of the communication campaign, we're also going to be reassuring those claimants that lodged claims by 31 December 1993 that we are indeed dealing with their claims and working as fast as possible. There were adverts that were placed in the public media, like print media, in world media, and elsewhere, that were calling upon people to come and lodge claims. All of them have been stopped. Fortunately for us, the communication campaign which we were paid for had an ending of 31 March 2016. So everything that we were paid for, yes, there were still adverts in the old murals, in the billboards, etc. But they were just there because there wasn't any other client. We've instructed all the service providers through GCIF to withdraw all of those advertisements. We've recalled banners, pull-ups, the normal communication material that we would use to encourage people to come and lodge a claim. In certain instances, there were t-shirts that were printed for lodging staff and other staff within the commission that had a message that said, you have not appearing by this time. All commission staff have been instructed not to wear that in public because it is now communicating an incorrect message. We are now then dealing with the last aspect, which is how many claims were lost. In substitution of the restitution act, the Chief Legal Commissioner is empowered to determine how claims are going to be lost. So in the past, there was a claim form. In this instance, we said to let all claims be lost in the property for the reasons that we have referred to previously. Now, as we said, where the system was not available, we would then have claims lost manually. These claims could only be lost in our lodgement offices or in the mobile lodgement offices. Now, having had the message, particularly from the consultations that were held by the National Assembly, people wrote letters, they wrote affidavits, and they forwarded those affidavits to the commission. We would respond to the people by saying to them, thank you very much for acknowledging the receipt, but for you to lodge a claim, we request that you go to one of the lodgement offices or wait until the bus arrives in your area. Now, there are some areas where the bus has not been and where we know that the population in that area is generally poor. So what we've done is that all of those letters and affidavits have been consolidated. We are now checking against the system to see whether that person has lodged, and if they have not lodged the claim, and if that letter or affidavit was received by the 27th of July 2016, in law, that's lodged the claim. All of these letters, you can see that the intention was to lodge the claim. Now, the Restitution Act has envisaged a situation like that in its original form, and it empowers the Commission to condone the manner in which a land claim is lost. So we are now also having a process where we are looking at all of those letters and affidavits, checking them against the system, if the details are not on the system, and uploading them on the system, but only insofar as they were received on or before the 27th of July 2016. As we've been continuing with the lodgement processes, we have been conducting an audit on the system so that the statistical information that we provide is information that has been audited. And the last audit that was done before the government was on the 13th of July. And then we have provided those numbers and the breakdown in July 18 and 19. What we set out in July 20 is 1,842 claims that claimants arrived with the intention to lodge a claim. We captured the details, but as the process of capturing the claim was unfolding, the claimants realized that there was some information that they did not have. Ordinarily, those people would then go get the information and when they bring it, then they will complete the process. Now, again, in law, those claims were lodged, although not all the information was provided. Now, in the interdict, the commission is interdicted against processing, but then the Constitutional Court said that you can still continue to receive an acknowledgement. So when these claimants come and produce the documentation that was outstanding, it would not be exceptional. It would be us taking information that's not going to be processed, but it is going to be kept in the system until such time that it's either new law or the commission has finished the processing of those claims. What we then set out on slide number 21 is then the total number of claims that are registered on the system. We still have an audit that is pending on those. And slide number 21 and slide number 22, one of the members, is not included in the hard copy. We inserted those to indicate the total number. That is information that is generated by the system, but with all of the work about reconciliation the information that has referred to, we have not finalized to say these are audited numbers. So in the system we have 166,560 claims, and we went out on slide 22 what is being claimed. The claims financial compensation and the claims where people say we want our land back, the claims where people are saying we realize that our land is no longer affordable, we will take alternative forms of the
Thank you very much, Senator, for the process. Any additions?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. To say that the Commission received the Constitutional Court judgment and we made sure that we filed a back, interpret the judgment and the order, and contrast, which is why we have been able to give the presentation that was given today. But we probably will continue to experience maybe meetings that we might not have anticipated. But that will bring before it has to be done if the fact. I think that we are rolling out our processes and we're comfortable that we'll be able to adhere to the judgment in the audit.
Another member? Can we look to the presentation? Another one? Honourable Peter.
Chair, we welcome the presentation. I'm very sure each of the members and colleagues, Honourable Rose, have stated clearly that the information is included in the choice of each other in the minutes. So let's go to the chief. I think I'm not sure what the statement is. We welcome even the short allocation or shifting resources, because this is the only issue that we can assist us moving forward, that there has been done so far. We welcome the resources allocation, but I think it's a warning to us, which even in the future, what we spoke about in our last week in the previous meeting, that let's not have the project for election without resources, without process.
Now, 135 law, just the question which is, the missing claims, for example, 1,842, are those claims, yes, missing claims, intimately, no information is missed. Or you call it incomplete. Okay, yeah, that's the wrong solution. Incomplete claims, 1,832. I wanted to find out, are they from which date, because I didn't get the term to the closing date for the after judgment. That is the question. Now, all in all, when you assess the indication, the operational issues, we have enough budget, because I'm not sure if we'll be indicated there, but all in all, after 24 months, are we going to adhere to the
Chairperson, I think we is on record what you said about this call it unfortunate sequence of events that we're not speaking, I'm not going to repeat disappointment and unhappiness of what happened. I would also welcome the fact that pre-1998 plans are being dealt with the resources of the shifted in that regard. I noticed in the presentation that it refers to claims being researched by 31st of March 2017. Will there be proposals in terms of the full segment of such claims be included in the medium term signature framework? I believe that is one of the key outcomes that emanates from the Constitutional Court finding. I believe the rest of the matters regarding the initiation of further legislation as lands of the committee are something you should ask the of the department. Thanks.
Thank you very much. When the department is mentioned in this presentation, thank you for this, it is mentioned that the resources will be shifted to finalizing claims. What is the monetary value of the resources we're talking about? How much is going to be shifted back so that we can get closure on all of the factors? And secondly, the vehicle is referred to as the mobile unit that we use in assisting claims with process claims. You did say that you didn't mention how many there are, but you did say that you're going to be requesting from departments or speaking to various departments to see where these vehicles could be used. My eyes. Put a proposal forward and said that those vehicles can be used as mobile training facilities for our CPOs. We can go around and improve training for CPOs with the government's issues. Thank you, Mr.
Chairman. Yes. Honorable Chairman,
thank you, sir. This is a very well comment intervention by the Concourse. A reflection of what we have already wanted to see happen. What our record is having, so that the 1998 claim should prioritize. Also welcome on the part of the Commission is the fact that they were able to retain the 99 employees who have been an absolute disaster for people to suddenly find themselves reclassified again as job seekers, and hope that they will prove something of value to the department in this process. Question is, while many of you have committed on that, to sort of fail to slide 50, where you say you will communicate information to the claimants and so on, by when will the relevant information have been communicated to the claimants? And the cost involved, that's another question, I need to supply the committee with the total amount spent so far on the new claims. You've been a little precise for 2 years now. What are the cost implications? I hope this will be limited so that we can follow up there, you know. And lastly, since the judgment, what's the legal question? Since the judgment refers only to section
clause 72(1)(a) of the Constitution, which speaks of the NCOP as different from the National Assembly. What action would be appropriate? Do we as the National Assembly, from your understanding, still have to go again over the consultative process program, or is it only for the NCOP to do that? Remember, the contract refers specifically to 72(1)(a), and there's no mention of the National Assembly there. Would you rather go back to the contract for an explanation or an accurate interpretation of the adjustment, or what would you expect us said in our opinions? That's the call from my side. Thank you.
We received the presentation last week, it's quite good, and we welcome the presentation once more. But then what is the message that we get from this side? As you say, I'm quoting, but it's the function of all of us quoting. Look, the court has really rudely exposed the political expediency. And it also exposed that there can never be any shortcut in a policy formulation cycle. We have to go the full cycle. And what happened in 2014 was an attempt to cut or to cut off that cycle, simply for political activities, to engage in what really said the electoral driver. And who wanted to bribe anybody? In the ruling party, wanted to bribe the rural community, the chief, the team, and the potential voters of the ruling party. And what has happened now is that we have been exposed that it can never be a shortcut. Secondly, that in any attempt of political expedience, our legal system will whip us in right, and we're being whipped here. And it has also brought us to a root consciousness of guilt. Because what guilt is treated here. But safe to say that the economic freedom riders are not part of this house, so we're not part of the key. But it says finance. It says finance. But for the right to comment. It says finance. There cannot be anything big enough to cover our nakedness. And it will forever expose our nakedness whenever there is political experience. In this case, our nakedness has been exposed. And there's a key lesson that there will never be anything big enough to cover us. So let's go back to the basics. This law, this act has been nullified, has been declared unconstitutional, and we have to follow the true and thoroughgoing process of policy formulation. And ensuring the process that all stakeholders are taken on board, and go back to our people and reveal the truth about to legislate, and the inherent limitations that are involved in the legislation, and tell them that it is not true, this is just by the peaceful intervention, to address the deeper aspirations of our people on rainbow. This is just as a peace intervention. We should not entirely address the effects of landlessness which our people continue to suffer. I would like to tell them my apologies, Madam Chair, that I've already done so, because as I said, I've got to attend another committee. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
those who have been in media themselves, they are well in first part of the overalls. I don't believe in media.
Chairman, I just want to say,
from the commission, you said you will complete the outstanding games in 24 and the rest of 24 hours, 24 months. What makes you sure that you'll be able to complete this process in 24 months? And at what cost? Do we have money budgeted for those? Or are they going to be the same claims that are going to be kicked out? How many are they in one?
We
are
the
leaders. Thank you very much. The reopening of the land rights for everyone is not a political experience. It indeed comes a long way. There has been the demand of the community out there. And indeed, the fact that 161,000 claims were lost in the short space of time indicates that it is a correct thing. The mere fact that a handful of individuals have taken this matter to the Constitutional Court, looking at that some of the loophole that was there and exploiting to the detriment of 161,000 people, it could rather have a lawsuit. But then the Constitutional Court has said to us, go back and correct those deficiencies that were there. It is not saying that don't ever come back with a that the reopening day is an illegal thing. Never said that. I think the task now for the department and all of us is to take this message out there to the community so that they understand that the decision of the highest court of the land is not a decision against correcting the injustice of the past. It is a decision to say, hang on, there are some administrative glitches and that has to be corrected so that you can proceed with getting justice many, many years later. It is my view that there will be further reopenings. I think maybe some people may say looking at a crystal glass or whatever, but I think there may be a need in the future depending on the uptick, depending, because the theft of land is something that goes very, very deep. And certainly these are mere actions to begin to address some of it. We can't address the injustice of the past, the 360 odd years of injustice in 22 years. It's not possible for us to do so. But come back to the issue at hand. I certainly hope that the offices that has been opened will not be summarily closed. Talking about the lost machine. It should still continue to be communication center house, and certainly one is very, very happy about shifting of resources. When you speak about the shifting, understanding that the shifting of resources means human resources. It means those 99 people that worked in this working center are now going to do something else, are going to be skilled to do something else. But there will be recourse when the legislation have been redone and everyone is satisfied so that they indeed can continue to do what they have started doing. They do not need, the department do not need to start from a fresh again. And I also wish to, I think Honorable Robertson has raised this issue about the utilization
how the communication vehicles. I think it's important that those vehicles not merely be let out to other departments, but that these departments find ways of using it in the initial phase, sending them back to the very same communities where they have been, to communicate to those people to say, this is the reason why nothing is going to happen for the immediate future. This is what are being done at this point in time. I think it must be utilized, it must also not be in a garage and then gathered dust. It must also not be to any department for them to utilize and then turn in a year's time a DG in a very good bad state. It must be utilized to for the maximum benefit of public people's life.
Thank
you very much. It would be nice whenever we have guests, and they call the department our guests, the commissioner our guests. It would be nice if Bob Marley, let me start with that one. He has a nice song where he talks about he who fights and runs away tends to fight another day.
No, the agent is calling the
permission.
They are allies.
Whenever.
Can you talk that you?
Yeah, I'll still have to speak to the record because I think that people refer to the record a lot. It would be nice when we have our visitors that we assume the committee mode and not the individual police and party mode. But unfortunately, by virtue of the political majority, there is a strong tendency to generate into the various political parties that people are. And as they do that, the 52% platform on which they are, it gets so much compromise because the committee mode is not structured as such. One fatal aspect about this opportunity is that there are two houses of parliament. When we tend to be the political parties that constitute committee, our committee, we then compromise and not take responsibility for the two houses because we become political parties. So where are the two houses of parliament? But also about the two houses, it is that I think that let us just be clear, but the department and the commission can answer. If one leg of the two houses in a lawmaking process is an error, then clearly it is correct. We were told by the parliamentary legal team last week that then it is whole of parliament that got to deal with that matter. I do know that Uzi remains, and he had raised the question last week. And is raising it again, and I think we must also raise our views as we did that and repeat. The commission can also answer in our understanding whether the error was at the level of the NCOP, then it becomes an issue for parliament as one body. Because there's one parliament, not with two houses, like a home with two houses, but that home, that's the home. And I've decided that the new one, that was our other one there. But that's still one household, irrespective of number of houses. Chair, another opportunity, I'm again to clarify for the record. Whenever Parliament and this committee score successfully, they become successes of Parliament. Whenever there are challenges, they become the challenges and so-called figures of the ruling party. We have a big to the ruling party, it's fine. So, let us call successes and let everyone else opportunistically benefit from successes we go, and whenever there are challenges for the parliament, then we accept that the parliament would be, I mean the ANC would be deemed to be the one. But Having said that, it helps that the oral Christian name uses quite common principles. I would have thought that we were much larger than the block of opposition. It's like he's a spokesman on the Christian, and that's to cross-connect ideas. It's like in a soccer game or rugby game, you saw last night. What happened is that there's a referee, and referee is the concourse. What happened is that there are teams playing, and clearly the ANC is the leading team. It can be tested, the policy is being tested. Now, we attach, if we've got to be pushed to that, that whatever the other side scores, then the game is still on. The game is still on. Siabuya, so Honorable Mandela cast it nicely that we will come back to rectify and rectify and clear simply a game on. And other colleagues, in particular from GA, just think that it's the end of the game and they think that it's won in their meeting. There is no such. The game is on and it's got so many goals in this match. Chair, the main point now is the budget. Asked by Honorable Ntongo. He happens to be a reasonable man from my stand in the restitution issue in the other side of the other side. The budget, it would seem that we would like to take the commission and recommend that we will ratify whatever our done perhaps inadequate by Parliament. So the budget must always be there. We don't want to cut without the budget. I'm talking a broad restitution process. I'm not talking about it for 100 t-shirts and options. No. The bigger question. The budget there must still be there. For the 24 months, there'll be two budget years. That's my strong motivation there. And actually, then the real issue that the insurance policy is frequent. I do not know anyone concerning the CCC. Was there anyone who has said new claims must precede or supersede or go before the one? So clearly, it's for Parliament to rectify what is right for priority. And sometimes, the English word, clear, it means sequence. First in, first out. Last in, last out. That's what probably Parliament and the Department and the Commission will have to work out and be clear on what you mean by priority. You don't have to go to the tournament and not be making any other two at bank and anywhere else. And definitely we may not lose that one. So I'm just saying, Chair, we could have to combine the support with last week's report. Otherwise, we have to start the issue. And I move that the resolution of the two plastic remain. By which we ask the Chair, as the leader of the committee, to forward the roadmap as to how we go forward from it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. Honourable President, I suppose to give the Commission an opportunity to respond.
Thanks for the opportunity today. Well, I appreciate the logical argument being put forward by Honourable today. What I'm looking for here and what I think would be most appropriate is actually a legal answer. What it may make a lot of sense to say we are one panel. But I think what would take us out of this very apparent format is a legally based answer. That's what I wanted to say before they respond. Thank you.
Thank you. In response to a few questions, I would like to just propose that on how to shift the resources, whether to shift the resources.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Time will make that point, because I think that you already mentioned a lot of what already happened through the presentation that was done the last time. And then I'll respond to anything else that you let us think.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Ntongo spoke about the 1,822 claims that were certified that they are incomplete, and he reflected where there was an age analysis. We will do an age analysis and provide to the committee. He also asked the question whether there is enough budget, and so did Honourable Gavin. In the responses to the BRRR processes, budget, report, review and recommendations, Minister of Finance indicated that Treasury is reviewing the funding model. The work that we are going to do, which is reflected on slide number 10, is that the commission will request for settlements, the claims, so that we get them to a point where the only outstanding item is the money to pay financial compensation, the money to buy them. So we will in the next 24 months take the claims up to that particular point. We are, if you look at the model of the road accident fund, the road accident fund will approve claims, and then there is a period within which everyone knows that you have to wait for a certain number of months before you get the money that was approved. So we are looking at various models without obviously committing the state. The Honourable Walter asked whether these proposals are going to be included in our representations for the MTF processes, and others here. The reason why we said we are going to be interacting with the farmers' unions, with the bank, is because we want to go over the head of diversity so that we can start the engagement, the mediation part of the settlement proceedings. Those where there are disputes, we refer them to court. Those that we can settle, then we know that we put them on the queue. And then when the resources are made available, then we are able to settle those claims. There was also a question about the monetary value to be shifted. At most, the resources that are going to be shifted is the 99 officials. The ones for money that was budgeted at the time for the reopening communication campaign, for logistical arrangements, for staff that would travel with the bus. It is not going to be a lot of money, but it will certainly make a difference, particularly in the research of claims. The mobile lodgement offices, one of the departments that we are talking to for the use of these is our own mother department of Rural Development and Land Reform. There have been discussions about having rural guests. The buses only have a capacity of transporting one person in the drive. They are essentially an office. So they can only provide an assistance of taking the office to the people. In the departments, there are many offerings where people are required to apply for digitalization. There are many programs that people may not be aware of. So we are saying to our colleagues that can we find a way for these buses to be used? There was a question from the Honorable Sultan about by when are you going to have communication? We have been communicating for the last 2 years a message that says the potential claimants come and lodge again. And now we have to say to them, please don't come. It's going to be a continuous process, and it will only stop when there is a new law that has been passed, where we change the message and say, now you can come and lodge a claim. We participated as the commission in the constitutional court case, but only in relation to the secondary issue which courts cannot even get into, which was looking at the meaning of priority. Now, in that aspect of the court of the case was not the court had to deal with it because it was introduced by the bill and by the act, the amendment act. The amendment act has been found invalid and therefore was not necessary. That discussion has now shifted to the land claims court in the case of Amakamu and the Makasane that I was talking about. Now, we are a statutory creation. We can only do what our institution says, and processing legislation is not one of those. But we do have views, particularly in a case like this, which has such impact on us. In our understanding, the effect of the court order is that there is no amendment act, there is no vacancy. So there would have to be an introduction of a bill to Parliament, to the National Assembly, and then it would have to be processed the normal way. Then the preparation of the case for settlement is so that we are able to say, when we look at the slide that has all of those many numbers, if the question comes and says, the 4,376 claims, how much will it cost for you to settle them? Because if research that they meet the requirement, how much? Then we'll be able to answer very clearly what it will cost. Now for us to get to that point, we then need to collect all of them. We need to then start the engagement with all interested parties. We need to identify which ones are we have owners that are willing to sell, which ones are for financial compensation, which ones have issues that we are going to be referring to us. The referral support will be able to do that. But the settlement now requires funding, and we are convinced that if we got that much detail, the National Treasury will look at us a little bit differently. The Constitutional Court in its judgment says that the reopening of lodgement of claims was a good thing. It's just that there were that those challenges. So, but then it's particularly in the documentary part, it says that people suffer because of colonial and apartheid government, and some people continue to suffer even though they have this right to restitution, they lost their claim in 1998. So there is really, even in that court action, a lot of pressure to finalize those claims that were lost before 1998.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may just add, just to re-emphasize again that the Commission is prepared to move all claims towards settlement, and we can only do that with the resources that are made available to us as a Commission, and secondly, we can only do that if there are no impediments that would arise, like claims that have competing where we end up in court, or issues that will create a situation that will not allow us to get to that point. So we're making it very clear that for those claims that have no issues, we should be able to then get to a point where we've done an analysis and we're able to communicate to say, in this case, after negotiation, this possibly is the amount of money that would be required to access settlement of those claims. But I just want to make sure that it's clearly emphasized that the work that we would have to do in the next 24 months is not going to be an easy work. Understanding the nature of the work of the Commission and understanding the various stages of processing the claim that is required, which is a strenuous interaction between various role players who very often don't agree on how processes should unfold. And so, but we set ourselves the task of ensuring that we moved swiftly to deal with claims that were lodged before the cut date of 1998. Secondly, Chair, I would like to mention that when we talk of incomplete claims, that in terms of the new order claims, we are referring to 1,842. These were claims that were already in the system before the court ordered its judgment showed the list of the Amendment Act. And they have been in the system, whether it's the first claim that was lodged in a new order. But it's just that not all of the required documents were submitted. And so, until that is done, we cannot count it as a fully lodged claim in terms of our own internal policies, but even that's a claim that has been lodged. So, we are very clear that we receive the new claims using an electronic lodgement system because we wanted to make sure that we minimize the risk of fraud. And so even the manual fare forms that were used were manual forms that were audited and were given to the chief director of the province signed off. And so we knew every time a manual form was used and had to be released into the hands of the officials and given back at a certain point in time. So even immediately when the government came saying that no more lodgements, we immediately said to the chief director, make sure that those manual forms are sent back to national office so that we are able to immediately do a conciliation. So we're very clear that the information that will come will be dealing with people who lodge them.
and we will make sure that we look out for any potential issues around concerns about people who would want to then say that they lodged claims when they didn't lodge claims. Communication campaign is ongoing. It started immediately after the judgment, where the provisioners are communicating on radio, various media, local radio stations and the like, just to make sure that our clientele is aware that they can't lodge new claims. But we have then ramped up, in fact, as you are aware, that our focus has been on communicating with our old order claimants. So we're continuing to do so that we can, as quickly as possible, deal with the old order claimants. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I think there were questions that were related to the cost. I don't think that is practical for you to indicate the cost now, because you're not aware of the figure, so we don't want you to stand such, but you can just provide a written response to the circulated to members. Honorable members, I think we dealt with the two reports today, the CDA report and also the briefing for the commission. It has been noted that we're still awaiting the CPA amendment bill. And also it must be on record that we don't want to fast track any bill that will be brought before the committee. All the bills must be processed accordingly. So we request that the bills are tabled on time. And the other one is that the report on the CPA that does not own any land with the submitted from the within 40 days. And also to just note the things that have been indicated by the chief land by Ms. Gobodo that on the plans that we are having, especially the resources that we allocated for the renewal of the team. It said that the court didn't deny any reopening. The court supported the reopening, but there are schools that need to be touching on. I think because our guests and other people who are attending or getting a treatment, the issue of the figures, I think it must be communicated correctly. Because others are saying that 20,000 outstanding claims, others are saying this number. So it must be clear how many claims are outstanding, the claims that were lost before the 31st of December 1998. The Concord didn't mention any name of the MEC. The Concord mentioned Parliament. And Parliament is not the ANC Parliament, it's the multi-party Parliament. So if there is a new code, we need to all take that responsibility that we need to sit down and craft the way forward and how to correct what we need to correct. I think the commission will strengthen the communication again for people to be aware that the allotment process has been stopped. When time is due again, they will be told to come and lodge their claims. So with this few remarks, let me take this opportunity to thank the DM for being part of the meeting, DG and your team, SLCC, and also indicate to members that you know the issue of shifting the menu should be at the end of the meeting. We'll end up with a pile of minutes, because now we can't adopt the minutes because other members have apologized, they've got other meetings. So the proposal on the proposal, I think we need to review it, because we started initially when we started the meeting, but it has got an impact, because if we don't deal with the minutes on time, it impacts on the work of the committee. So on the document that has been circulated on something, the report of the commission, the first quarterly report for 2016-17, although there was a briefing in the department on the restitution performance, but members are requested to go through the chair report. If need be, we call the commission to come in, just brief us on the report that has been circulated.
Thank you very much for your remarks around the ground. I just like to go on for the next moment and hope that something doesn't change. We may not all be integrated in seeking a legal opinion from entities that account from us. We have parliamentary legal questions. We're very content with them. It's exactly on record that it's not fair. It's so that we understood properly. We have parliamentary legal questions, and we're very, very content with them. They're doing so well. We don't seek legal opinion. Some of us do seek legal opinion, even on people who matter come to us.
Thank you, sir. We have granted permission to conduct public hearings on Esther and KZN from the 14th to the 16th. We will be leaving from Cape Town, all of us, on the morning of the 14th, Wednesday morning, yes, and going back to our respective provinces on Friday. We're starting in Newcastle, we're heading from Cape Town to Johannesburg, and then on Friday we're flying from Durban to our respective provinces. The reason being we want to minimize cost because we still have the following week to conduct public hearings pending the approval by the House Chair. We got the 19th to the 23rd. It will be one day in Limpopo because they are not hotspots as identified by the report. Limpopo 19, Northwest 20th, Swane 21, Mohali City on the 22nd. Then we come back on Friday the 23rd from Joburg to our respective provinces. But that one is pending up approval by the House Chair. The next week one has been approved logistics hub in progress. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Any comments from the
members? To ask the school and developing program to try to keep this in the first before. I was so embarrassed to point to the legislature support question and the parliament support question. It will be the last only to find the person is busy arranging this nicely, part of us, and we're not ours. So sometimes even in logistics, you don't know that this car is, you know, so if we can have just a brief discussion, even that we do not necessarily know all the staff units that usually accompany this room, if they can do three things. But also, it has to see things which are transpired that need some updates and all that, so that there's no undue.
Thank you very much.
I just want to clear on this one. All the public hearing for the 19th to the 26th, you say wait to for approval, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What will they be about?
On Esther as well. But the reason for them is that after the judgment, as NECOM, we reconsidered the approach that we took, because firstly, the approach was to look at the hotspots. After the judgment, we decided to go and...
Okay, thank you.
Thank
you say moving from out to one the first day, from the first 60, from something to pick another state. What about the place from something to pick another state?
Then we can fly start to take Cape Town Devon, not Cape Town Johannesburg, Cape Town Devon.
Okay.
Thank you very much. Please, Bula will go back to other members to participate now. People are not supposed to participate out there. So, Bula will go down to members who are from KZN for advice and for their guidance. The meeting is ahead. Thank you very much.
Thank you,
we are the rich now, but I know who is the way. We are rich and profound, but I'm
sorry.
No, 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 no